Today, we're looking at the creative solutions people in the Bay Area are coming up with to make lives here better. If the statistics in that last story scared you, you might seek advice from Jamal Yogis. He's the author of the book, The Fear Project, What Our Most Primal Emotion Taught Me About Survival, Success, Surfing, and Love. In it, he takes an experiential approach to getting over some of his own fears by confronting them head on. He tells stories of swimming with sharks, forcing himself to do public presentations, and surfing giant waves. Along the way, he also spoke with researchers about the science behind our fears. KALW's Martina Castro talked with Jamal Yogis about his findings, and they say a lot about our society as a whole.
I was realizing just how prevalent anxiety disorders are in this country. You know, 40 million Americans is the official statistic of suffering from an anxiety disorder every year. It's probably much more than that. That's the diagnosed. And, you know, this is interesting because we live at a time in history when we live longer, we live healthier, we live safer lives than any other time in history, despite the way it feels when you turn on the news. Those are just the facts. We will, you know, if you have a child today, the chance they'll live to 100 is much greater than at any time in human history. So in a lot of ways, we live safer, but we're feeling more and more scared. And so I thought, I need to crack this case out of necessity for myself, but maybe along the way, I'll be able to help other people.
Well, so what can you tell us, what is happening in your body when you feel fear, or when fear kicks in?
What's happening when you feel fear is that a very ancient part of your brain called the amygdala, it's often referred to as the lizard brain because we share it with lizards. It goes that far back, you know, hundreds of millions of years, is telling your adrenal glands to release adrenaline and cortisol, a stress hormone. And what those two get to work doing is speeding up your heart rate, shutting down your immune system, shutting down your digestion, shutting down your sex drive. And the reason for that is, like, those are all future projects. And so your body's saying, let's put all those future projects off until we survive this moment. But when it gets to be chronic, where that energy is always there, and then your immune system isn't working over a long period of time, it's like, that's when it can make us sick and it makes us not feel well. Or if it gets too high into panic, it can make us freeze up or have a panic attack or act really irrationally. So that's the basic picture. And the interesting thing about that amygdala sending that message is that you don't control it at all.
I really enjoyed some of the tests that you did on yourself in the book, because you really brought it alive. And especially that moment when you hook yourself up to that shock tester thing. Can you describe what was actually happening? And to me, that I think that was like a really good example of the fear of fear.
Yeah. I really think it's that fear of fear and the worry about worry that hurts more than the initial impulse. But Daniela Schiller, this wonderful neuroscientist who at the time was at NYU, took me down into her lab. And she hooked me up to a zapper a la Peter Venkman and Ghostbusters. And she said, try to figure out this pattern on the screen. And I saw a pattern of blue and yellow squares. And I realized right away that the blue squares sometimes came with this shock. So I saw the squares for a few minutes. And then she showed me a graph of my fear, which was reflected by the sweat on my skin that she was measuring, the most minute changes in sweat. And it was interesting because the first time there was a shock blue square pairing, I got a spike of fear from the shock. But then every time after that, I would get an equal fear response from just seeing the blue square with no shock. So the anticipation that a shock might come was suddenly as jarring to my body as actual pain. And this is where humans really differ from some of our animal friends, is that we have this ability to trigger the amygdala, this very dramatic fear response, with a mere thought.
I'm speaking with Jamal Yogis, author of The Fear Project, What Our Most Primal Emotion Taught Me About Survival, Success, Surfing, and Love. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Martina Castro. So I think it's a good transition into strategies to deal with fear. It seems like you really focused on athletes and how they have concrete strategies that they go to when they're feeling performance anxiety or maybe even fear of fear.
Yeah, well, there are so many strategies. And the number one way to deal with fear, as most of the neuroscientists told me, is exposure therapy. And it's so simple. And it's also the hardest to get yourself to do because you have to do what you're afraid of. And so if you are afraid of heights, you know, getting yourself to jump out of that airplane is going to be the thing that is most helpful, but you might not want to jump out of the airplane right away. You want to take baby steps. So, you know, watching a film about maybe skydiving while you're holding your wife's hand or something, and then getting yourself to go to some taller three-story buildings and four-story buildings, you know, taking those baby steps, because what you want is a positive association with the fear, or at least a neutral one. Of course, there are different strategies for different types of fear. So if you're having what's called a bottom-up fear response, where you see a scary wave, you know, a 40-foot wave is coming at you, and that fear is sort of starting in your body, and breathing through it is going to be the way to address that fear. So that's why soldiers and special forces learn to breathe evenly in the midst of these very high stress situations to bring down their fear response.
And do you use these? Now that you know them, are these coming up in your brain when you have fears?
Yeah. I mean, I still have lots of fears, and they just don't go away completely. And
you don't have to just write a book about fear and it goes away.
I wish. But to some extent, I don't wish, because now I realize there are really great values to fear. And so I catch myself faster saying, instead of being frustrated with myself for feeling afraid, I say, oh my gosh, well, isn't this so normal and natural that there are these uncertain things in the future and I feel this way? And oftentimes just that can turn the fear around, just that catching it and noticing it and giving yourself permission to feel it. All of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, now I can actually get down to the practicalities of what I need to do. I mean, the funny thing about when you start researching the science of fear is like, you're like, oh, we already all know this stuff. You know, it's like faith helps, love helps, exercise helps. You know, just doing it helps, going into your fears help. It's like, duh. But when you're in fear, oftentimes you start mistrusting all your intuition. And so you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to dig deeper into this hole. And so that's where the science helps.
And I like, actually, I think at some point you write about how the actual feeling or of the act of being in love can help you conquer fear.
Yeah. One, on a chemical level, anytime you're in love, you have a lot of oxytocin in your system. And oxytocin is this neurochemical that they've shown in studies helps counteract the freezing response of fear. So like rats who are being shocked, if they have a little oxytocin in their system, instead of freezing, they will still feel fear, but they'll be able to move through that. And the amazing thing is you can actually, you know, you or I can close our eyes and think of someone we love or think of being loved by our moms, or and we actually get a little hit of oxytocin if we really take the time to feel it. And so that's accessible anytime. So when you're, you know, going into a scary situation, actually, you know, doing that hokey thing of like closing your eyes and thinking of people who love you is helpful.